on October 28th.
That's the entire length of the trial, from picking a jury on to closing arguments. You can get delays. We noticed, for instance, there's one holiday in there. Certainly it's in October, November. We all know what that means in Colorado, but we hope that that will be a sufficient amount of time.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Larry McAtee, and you're on the air with Home Team. Hang on one second. I got to start. I just had to start the Facebook stream, folks. But another Friday in Flemington here, and this is Larry McAtee on Huntington County Radio from Home Team Inspection Service. We're a full inspection company that does inspections for people buying houses or selling houses, and then we help you take care of them. Like to know, we tell the story of the house. Every house has a story, and our job is to tell you the story so you can know what you're buying and have comfort in closing. Today, we have Craig Sansig with us from Viking and Termite Pest Control, and he's going to explain what he does in a minute. But if you have any questions, you can see us on Facebook, ask the questions, and I'll get you at the break, and then we'll ask the questions of Craig. So this is the opportunity to ask that exterminator that one question about that pest that you've been trying to get rid of, or what can you do, or what is something, so or do we have to worry about it? Today we talk a little bit about myself before we go to the weather. You know, I come from a pretty large family. I have three sisters plus a sister-in-law, and I had a brother, but my brother had passed away. He's the reason, you know, he died and basically has complications of diabetes. And Bill had diabetes since he was like 14 years old. And so it was type 1 diabetes very early on, and took a lot of insulin, 3 shots a day for many years. And no matter what his diet, he couldn't manage it. And I saw it, you know, it robbed him of a lot of things. At 40, he had 2 heart attacks and had bypass surgery. And then at 42, he passed away. So if you know anybody out there with diabetes, I mean, a lot of times I thought diabetes before I had firsthand experience of it was just an eating thing that you had to watch. You couldn't eat sugar, but it's an all-encompassing life event. And so if you know anybody out there that has it, understand that be patient with them. There's a lot of things going on, and diet's only one of them. We're going to do the weather in a minute, and then we'll be right back. So hang on one second.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Okay, the weather this week, Friday, going to be 78 today and partly sunny. It looks like a beautiful day out there. Saturday's going to be nice too, guys. It's going to be 74 degrees, partly sunny. Sunday's going to be 89, back to the heat. Sunday and Monday, 89 degrees on Sunday, 81 degrees on Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday, we look at a little rain. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday look like nice days. Next Saturday, June 1st, is going to be the community day, Huntington Community Day. So make sure you come out and check out. I'll have a booth at the event, and come by. We'll have real estate professionals and mortgage professionals who can answer your questions. And then we'll answer your questions about maintenance and things like that. We'll be right back with Craig from Viking. So hang on 1 minute.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Huntington Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@huntington-chamber.org.
Okay, we're back, and well, I'm here with Craig Sansig from Viking Termite. You know, I do inspections, and one of the things I sub out is I sub out my pest inspection, and it's part of the WDO, which is the wood destroying organisms, which most loans require you to get. So I sub it out, and I get professional people to do it, like Craig's company, because they do it all day long, and they know what they're looking for, and it takes a big bite out of my inspection, so I don't have to do it. And I value their opinions, and it's amazing what you learn from them, too. So, Craig, welcome. I really appreciate you, Viking, letting you come here today. And maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and Viking so we can at least know what we're talking about. And then we'll start with some questions.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Thank you for having me. My name is Craig Sansig. I'm from Viking Termite and Pest Control. I am their director of technical and training. We're a rather large pest control company in the area, so we have quite a few staff and training them and making sure we're on the forefront of technology is really my job and main function.
Okay. I mean, you mentioned you're large. I've seen your trucks all over the place. And so what areas do you guys cover? Is it a national company with a franchise, or how's it organized?
Nope. It was started locally. It was actually begun out of Bridgewater, New Jersey. And they are now in five states, from New York City to Southern Maryland, including Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware.
So what basic services do you offer the homeowner, in a sense? Because that's, my show is about the house and about taking care of the house. And so what would most homeowners need an exterminator for?
Well, as I'm sure you're aware, there's no two homes are the same. Hmm. And really, when we look at a home, we try to come up with the best plan for that home. Typically, we find that it breaks down into a few separate categories. The main one is a home protection plan, and there are several levels to that. Not everybody needs all the bells and whistles, so to speak. But typically, if you go with a higher-level program, you tend to get more inclusion and better value. We have the all-inclusive program covers everything except wildlife. So wildlife would be the only additional charge. Typically, we also see wood-destroying insect coverage written separately. So you'll see termite plans separate, carpenter bees, or what people typically refer to as the bumblebees. I'm sure you see them.
Oh, you see them all the time.
We do get the termite and carpenter ant work, of course, powder post beetles, the other wood-destroying organisms. But we also have yard guard services, which, this time of year, the mosquitoes are starting up, the ticks are starting to come out, and we have our new species of tick in Hunterdon County.
Well, tell me more about that.
We have the Asian longhorn tick. It was recently found at a sheep farm in Hunterdon County. And it was brought into Fish, Game, and Wildlife, I want to say it was two seasons ago. And they identified it as a species from New Zealand.
Wow.
And it tends to be very aggressive. It will approach hosts and actually feed in huge numbers, sometimes up to a couple hundred on an animal. And, so the state's been very active in trying to stop and control that.
In typical ticks, I mean, I think of deer ticks and I think of Lyme disease. Do these ticks carry Lyme disease? Or
it's unknown at this point. They do know that they, in their native areas, they do carry some diseases. But they have yet to tell what they may be carrying here.
Because I got to tell you, I'm not afraid of snakes. I'm not afraid of this. I'm afraid of a tick. And I'm afraid of it, you bite me in the back of the knee or worse, crawl up, my leg, and then I won't find it till it's after it's bitten me, And Lyme disease scares the hell out of me out there,
It's very prevalent, especially in this area.
Is there anything a homeowner can do? I mean, my lawn care specialist, and I don't know whether it's just a bill or what, but I have it treated for, my seven treatments a year, and then two of them are tick and flea treatments. I get them done early and one late, and they say it helps control the growth in the yard. But is it something that can be done, or are they selling me a bill of goods?
Well, it depends. It depends what they're treating and how they're treating. If they're not targeting the right areas, it may not be the value that you might think you're getting. Typically, ticks don't infest the lawn itself. They're in the higher brush and grass and shrubbery. They want to be higher than 8 to 10 inches off the ground, where they'll actually climb up to the edge of the shrubbery or leaf, and they'll lay outstretched with their legs out, trying to grab somebody as they come by, and they call it questing. And if you're targeting the lawn, you may not be getting to them. Typically, when we do a treatment, we only do a slight buffer zone into the lawn because that's not where ticks want to be. It's not their habitat.
So, I mean, if he's doing a lawn, it's along the woods, though. Do you think it might be helping keeping the ticks in the woods instead of on my lawn?
It can. Okay. But if you have a pet,
I don't have a pet. And then one reason I don't have a pet is, I used to have a dog, and my mother's one of her jobs was finding the ticks and getting them off. I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. So,
and there's really two aspects to it. I mean, there's the health and safety aspect when it comes to the ticks and the mosquitoes, But there's also the nuisance aspect. You know, people spend a lot of money on their homes. They have beautiful backyards, great decks. They want to enjoy a nice glass of wine out on their back patio at night. And a lot of times that's not always feasible because it is, you know, you're getting bit. And right. It's either spray yourself down with DEET or, you know, light a whole bunch of citronella candles and cross your fingers and hope for the best.
Hope the wind blows the right way.
Yep.
I when I do a house inspection, my one of my lines that I use is water's the biggest enemy in the house. Mm-hmm. It causes rot, brings in rodents, causes termites love it, and carbon ants love it, post beetle. Everybody, and it's basic survival. Every living being needs water on the earth. And then one of the things I tell them is sit in water. Like I had a house that had old tires underneath the deck, and they were full of water. It was a mosquito breeding ground. It's one of the things that I tell them to do. But, you mentioned before, one of the things that I focus on is selling the house. What is the basic inspection that you do for a home buyer? I mean, we call it a WDO in our paperwork for wood-destroying organisms. And it's really basically, what I understand now, you correct me, is termites, carpenter ants, and carpenter bees, and even post beetles. But we only see those, typically they're dead, but the damage has been done.
There are a few other species that are a little less common. We do see some of the old house borers, some of the different boring beetles that are out there occasionally. But that's really where the specialty comes in, because with over a million species of beetle in the world, you really need a professional that knows the 30 to 40 that really affect your home. And we're looking at softwoods differently than we're looking at hardwoods. So older homes, we may take a different approach to than a newer home.
Okay.
Because of what they're made out of. You get different beetles living in different substances. So really,
is one better than the other? Is the hardwood harder for the animals, the insects to penetrate?
No, just different. Different animals or different insects have adapted to different mediums to feed upon. And, most homes are pine, as you're aware.
Yeah.
And that's why we see carpenter ants, termites typically. The powder post beetles occasionally, but, some species of powder post beetle only infest hardwood. So,
right.
I
was just wondering if the old growth versus the new growth, because, if I look at an old house with a 2x4 and I look at the end grain, I'll probably see 25 rings in it. If I see a new house with, a pine 2x4, I probably see 6 rings in it.
Mm-hmm.
And for you that don't know, that the ring is caused annually with the growth. But they're growing it so fast, it's almost like they're biogenetically, creating the wood. And they're growing it, and they're taking it so fast versus taking wood that's been growing for 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make a difference?
It may slow the speed of the feeding slightly on the older wood, but not really. The same insects are going to affect either way.
Okay, but moisture plays a big role in that too.
Absolutely.
The new wood is, it may be green still. If I see termite damage in old houses, it's typically old damage. It's not new damage, but versus, that. And then also I see isolated more than I see, widespread. But, you mentioned, what about these things that I see, like these ultrasonic plugs? Do they work? Do they keep mice out? Or are people wasting their money?
There's been several university studies now that have looked at this, and they have found that they really have zero effect. There was one study that showed it might have had a slight deterrence factor on some wildlife in, say, an attic, but that was if they weren't already established living there. But insect-wise, rodent-wise, zero effect. And Rutgers, just a few years back, did a study on this and found they were completely ineffective.
So basically, people save your money and, you're buying those things and sticking them in. I had heard that there's more of a risk of them causing a fire in your outlet than they are of chasing a rodent away.
Yeah, ironically, some of the worst cockroach-infested homes I've ever been in were they had them in every other outlet, and the cockroaches were hiding behind those units.
So there you go, guys. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. You can't plug something in and chase them away. What about mothballs? My father-in-law is big saying, hey, put some mothballs around.
When they're contained, they actually will work decent. They have to be stored in an almost airtight container. The problem with them is people spread them out, and then really the smell just becomes annoying to people, and it's not concentrating to a level that it's effective. We've seen where they can actually melt plastic. So if they come into contact with clothing or they come into contact with stored items, they can actually melt through them.
Wow.
So
wow.
Especially the older ones. And most people don't realize they are actually flammable. So you have to be careful with how you utilize them.
I never knew that. I never really used them either, but I didn't know that. Hey, we're going to take just a quick break, but we'll be right back. We have to take one at the quarter hour here, so we will be right back. Thanks.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Okay, we're back. We're back here with Craig Sansig from Viking Termite and Pest Control. Craig, you mentioned a yard service. What do you mean a yard service? I mean, what do you do for it?
We do have a treatment program where we come out monthly, and we would treat the shrubbery around the yard. We treat everything that's non-flowering, so it's not a risk factor to honeybees because they are our friends. So we do offer that as a service. So somebody wants to enjoy a glass of wine back on their deck and reduce their chance of being bit by a mosquito or their pet picking up a tick, it is something that we have available.
Okay, great. You mentioned bumblebees or carpenter bees before, and I see that a lot. And I actually see the staining on the house a lot of times. I see that before I see anything. Is the bee poop in a sense, and they're part of the pollination process too. But worse than that, what I see is that the bee will go in, and typically the bee leaves a small hole about as big as a dime, and they understand they turn right all the time. But then the woodpeckers chase them. And I said to this homeowner that the side of the fascia was all these elongated holes. And what they were carpenter bees. And then the woodpeckers come along and chase the bee and wants the egg or whatever storing in there. And they open up the whole piece of wood.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty common. Carpenter bees are pretty prevalent. And typically they're not going to cause major structural damage to a home. The fascia board tends to be where the window frames or door frames that they tend to get into. It's usually the decorative molding, but they are a nuisance. They're not typically aggressive, but they do leave unsightly stains on the home. And, people typically are freaked out by the large buzzing be chasing
them. They don't sting, right?
The females can.
Oh, they can.
The females can, but the males tend to be the ones that are more aggressive, and they lack the stinger.
Okay.
So
somebody told me they don't sting there, but they're so big they freak you out, you know, because they're like it's like a quarter coming at you or something, you know.
Yep.
And I see quite. I mean, this time of year I'm seeing more and more of those, and now I'm going to get into the hornets, and I've been into a few of those in the ground. I crawled in a crawl space last year, over top of one in the ground, and couldn't get out of the crawl space fast enough. But I mean, I tell you what, it was the most vicious thing I've ever seen. There was one, and then there was 1,000 in a matter of seconds. And you know, I always saw it in the movies. Why didn't you just run away? Well, guess what? It's a lot harder than you think.
Especially if there's nowhere to run.
Well, especially, you know, and, you know, I'm not a small guy. Getting back through that crawl space door was not an easy thing. I think the only thing that saved me was the Tyvek suit because, you know, it's like wearing a beekeeper suit at least.
It'll help to slow it down a bit.
Yeah. But hornets are pretty aggressive. They'll find the seam in the back of your neck and, you know, I think they were yellow jackets, but they were vicious.
Yeah, we deal with the yellow jackets and two species of hornet typically. The bald-faced hornet is the one that's truly aggressive. They make the carton nest that hangs in a tree.
Okay, so the paper mache one, the big gray one?
Yes, and they tend to be a black and white in color. They're the ones not to be trifled with. They're out trying to ruin your day once they get agitated. And if we find they'll chase you a little further, they'll sting you. And they don't die when they sting. Only honeybees die when they sting you. So these guys can sting you multiple times.
Okay.
And, yeah, they tend to be rather aggressive.
Do you treat bees? Do you come?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Do you take care of beehives and do you relocate honeybees and stuff like that too?
No, but we do work with a bunch of beekeepers throughout the state, and we'll typically work with them to make sure it's properly removed because we see that quite a bit where the homeowner thinks, well, I'll just shoot some stuff I bought from Home Depot into the wall, and what they don't realize is even if they are successful in killing the honeybees, which they typically are not. What we find is they don't realize now they have 40 to 60 pounds of honey in their wall.
Right.
That is now going to ferment and attract insects and ants and other pests.
It's funny you say that. I had a coworker once who sprayed the he pulled off the paneling, and I told him, I said, you got to open the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And he opened the wall, and because he said it was like a vacuum cleaner in the wall. He could hear the humming noise.
Yep.
And so he drilled a hole and sprayed the spray in, and he killed most of them. But when he opened the wall, he had probably 60 to 100 pounds of honeycomb that he had to remove.
And that's actually the more difficult portion of the remediation job. I think a lot of times people think they're going to call a beekeeper and the beekeeper's going to come out for free and take care of the issue. And typically that's not the case because the major workload is removing the honey and then doing the sheetrock work to repair it.
Right. So. But I think what most people see is they see the honeybee, the guy on TV who's getting the swarm that hasn't set up a nest yet.
Yep.
I used to take care of bees in elementary school. We had like 11 hives on the roof, so I know a little bit about them in a sense that when they swarm, I mean, that's when they're swarming, and it's almost like the termites or the carpenter ants when they swarm. I had the unfortunate aspect of inspecting a house when they were actually getting a carpenter bee swarm, and they tell me it's rare because the temperature has to be right, the humidity has to be right, and all this, and they were all over the side house, and they said, you know, the thing is you don't normally see that, and then you see the damage later.
Yeah, we see a lot of times, especially with the beekeepers, you know, they look at that bee swarm as found money because, you know, if you want to get into beekeeping now, it's $160 to buy a nucleus colony. So they walk up, they clip two tree branches, they drop it in a box, and
now they have
found
a new
money.
Nest, yes.
Yeah,
they have a queen and all her subjects ready to go.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing when you find the queen because she's so much bigger and all she does is lay eggs all day.
Yep.
But so you do take care of that. And now, what are other things that you see there? I mean, maybe there's some stories that you tell there. I mean, what are the funniest things or some of the craziest things that you've seen? I mean, I've seen squirrels. I had a house the other day that had two squirrels living in the attic. When I went into the attic, they didn't like me being there.
Many years ago, I went to a person's house, and I've been in this business now for 17 years, so I've seen quite a few funny things over the years. The one was the woman had an all-white house, white walls, white carpet, white sofa, and the squirrel had come down the heavily used chimney, and you could see every footprint that squirrel had put through the whole home, and she was so freaked out. She'd been chasing it around the house with a shovel for over an hour. I walked up. I opened the door, and the squirrel ran out, it's hard in those instances to not smile. Because you feel bad for the person, but at the same time.
So she chased it around the house, causing all the damage, and all she had to do was open the front door.
Every footprint from the squirrel. And, you know, it really shows the value of a chimney cap in that situation.
Sure.
And, you know, I mean, you meet the people that have the phobias and the fears, and, you know, we're really there to help them, you know. And, you know, sometimes it's just not what you expect. You don't expect somebody who looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger to be terrified of a pest.
Yeah.
And, you know, we come across that quite a bit. We come across restaurants that are... there's opportunity for improved sanitation quite a bit.
Sure.
Around homes, you know, you come across, you know, all sorts of challenges. The way some people live is interesting.
Well, it's when you're invited into somebody's home, you see the presentation.
Yes.
I was a volunteer fireman for many years, and when we went into somebody's house, it's because they had a fire. So guess what? You're seeing them at their the worst, in a sense. And the same thing with restaurants. There are many restaurants that I wouldn't eat into because I went in there for a smoke call, and I saw what was going on in the kitchen. I said, I'm not coming back here. Okay. But, I mean, animals, let's talk about the house, because, I mean, my wife sent me here today with two questions for you.
Okay.
I had pavement ants this winter. Now, they tell me it's rare to have them in the winter, for one. But they were coming up through my hardwood floor, and I don't know where they're coming from. I mean, I couldn't find them downstairs on my bench, which was underneath the fireplace. Mm-hmm. So, and then one exterminator I worked with said to me that there's got to be a nest somewhere. There's got to be food. Usually they're coming for food. Because usually when you find pavement ants, at the end of the run, you find a chip, and they're all taking pieces of it and carrying it back.
Absolutely.
And it could be the smallest piece of chip, but you'll find something. Mm-hmm. Where do they come from, and how can I get rid of them safely?
Well, the first trick really is to make sure you're dealing with a pavement ant, because there's about a dozen species of small ant that we deal with that look pretty close. And we're actually delineating them by very small features on their body. So, you know, the most prevalent ant species we deal with, which is about the size of a pavement ant, is called the odorous house ant. And it's not a pun on anybody's home, but they are by far the most prevalent. And they're very hard to shake because, unlike the pavement ant, they have multiple queens. So if we do put baits out or a treat for them, and we don't kill all the queens, it's a tough pest ultimately to shake. Pavement ants, by comparison, are typically pretty simple. So if you put a bait out and they don't disappear, it's usually your
That's normally what we do is put the bait trap?
Yeah, you're probably dealing with odorous house ants. So okay. My advice would be collect a sample and get somebody to take a look. You know, most reputable companies like ours will do free inspections and free identification.
What do you do for odors that you wouldn't do for the pavement ant?
A little different approach. It's really trying to track back to the nest and deal with the nest site. And, again, you know, no two homes are the same. So it could be decorative features, flat stones, pavers outside that they're living under. We see them under splash blocks. We've seen them under carpet edges, along tack strips, beneath slabs on split-level homes, or slabs on, you know, slab homes like ranches. They'll come up through expansion joints, through plumbing chases.
It's amazing they can smell a chip, though. You know, you lift up my chair, which is usually my chair that has the chip under it. I have the big lazy boy in front of the TV, you know, and you lift it up, and then damn if they're not all over the chip, and my wife just looks at me, and it's like it's all my fault, you know.
Yep.
The other thing I get is in the fall, I get mice, field mice, and the only place I get them is in the drop ceiling in the basement. And all of a sudden, you'll hear one scurry around, or at night when you're laying in bed, you hear them next to the heating duct, and it sounds like there's an army of them because they're right next to the heating duct.
Mm-hmm.
But then I set about I set 5, 6, 7, 8 traps with peanut butter in them, and I'll catch 4 or 5 of them, and then they're gone, and then they don't come back. It's like, you know, I don't see any sign of them. I don't hear any anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like in the fall, it's like they're looking for a place, but they seem to find, and I can't find out where they're coming. And I check my sill plate all the way around, my siding. I check the concrete. Mm-hmm. I mean, I put talc in on the where I thought they were coming from, and I can't trace them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do next? I tell you the truth, I'm not afraid to call an exterminator, but I talked to a couple of them, and they said there's nothing you're going to do about it. I mean, you got to find out where they're coming in.
Well, and I think sometimes that's the challenge, and I think that's where the experience and that's really where the art of this business comes in. And that's what differentiates us from going to Home Depot and buying your own stuff. So, you know,
yeah, you're buying experience, not the can.
Yeah, right, exactly. We find that there's two species of mice that we typically deal with, house mice and what they call white-footed or deer mice. And white-footed or deer mice are our native species of mouse. And they have a much larger home range. Typically, a house mouse's range is about 30 feet from where it eats to where it sleeps, at the most. Whereas a white-footed mouse can be up to 4 acres for its territory. So very different tactics and different ways we treat them. They may not be feeding in the home at all, whereas a house mouse typically is. So house mouse, we're going to focus on your kitchen. We're going to focus on your pipe chases, pantries, storage areas, that kind of thing. But with a white-footed mouse, exterior stations, they're exceptional climbers. So a lot of times we'll actually find entry points at the eaves.
Right.
Where they're
right.
actually climbing up, and they're coming in through gaps around eaves. Yeah. So
I've seen that soffits, firsthand. I've seen it right up the side of the chimney. I mean, the J channel in the chimney is famous for that.
Famous for it.
They go right up that crack all the way up, and then they disappear behind the siding.
Mm-hmm. I think really that's where – and being able to differentiate between the two, which is almost impossible to do from the droppings. Typically, that first capture is going to tell you which you're dealing with, and then you can adapt your tactics from there.
I think you have a point there, because I don't think I have a house mouse, because I mean I don't have them in the kitchen, mm-hmm. don't have them upstairs. They don't, you know. At one point in our life, we had one in the kitchen, you know, in the cabinet. You can find, mm-hmm. and one thing I find, and correct me if I'm wrong, everywhere they go, you find the droppings. It's like they move 3 feet and they have to drop.
They're not very discreet with where they leave it, no.
Yeah. And it's usually right along the wall, you know. Yep. I mean they find they're blind and they find they're lousy sight and they find they, mm-hmm. but the white foot ones, they tend to have bigger feet, I think, too, right?
About the same size. Really, the only difference is coloration. Eye size is a little bit larger.
The last ones I caught had really big, round eyes. I mean,
very common.
That makes sense. Okay. So maybe that's what I'm having now instead of a house. Because, I mean, my wife swears to me they're coming through the garage, but I have an epoxy floor in the garage, and literally you can eat off the floor in my garage. And there's not one mouse turd. And I said, they're not coming in that way, because it'd be some – when I had, you know, even when I had a chipmunk in the garage, living in the garage, I mean, he was coming in out with the door. But he left us presents, you know? I mean –
Yeah, the corners of the garage doors are a very common entry point. But, yeah, we find that the AC line, compressor line for the central air, that's a common spot, especially if it's leading up to the attic. Climbing brick, climbing exterior materials to get up to the roof line and entering through the roof line, they're not afraid of heights. And really only when we have a different behavior pattern is when we do deal with rats, which isn't very common, but, you know, a lot of times we will not find droppings like we will with mice. So, but usually people know it's louder, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And when they do have sightings, it's pretty obvious what they're dealing with.
Rats are something that, you know, rats and snakes kind of freak me out a little bit. I've seen a lot of them, cave crickets by the thousands. They don't bother me, but the only time they bother me is when I hit them and they all jump on me.
Yeah, they always jump right at you.
Yeah. Well, they tell me that somebody told me that they're blind, so that's their natural defense mechanism, is to confuse the hell out of their prey in numbers.
Well, they just jump, and if they're facing that way, they're coming right at you.
Yeah, because, I mean, in a crawl space, I mean, Connor, this exterminator, was with, and he says, he goes, see that right there? And I never saw it. It was sitting right there, and it didn't move, and he hits it, and it jumps. And it was like a domino effect. It was like the whole crawl space just jumped at once. And it's usually, there's a lot of moisture then. What I find when I find the cave crickets, I find moisture and then I find the mold.
You typically have a pretty high moisture content if you have cave crickets. One of the things we always recommend to help aid in long-term control and reduce the need for pesticide is the installation of a dehumidifier. It goes a long way. And we always caution people, too. Don't go to Home Depot and buy the cheapest Home humidifier you see. You know, get that dehumidifier that's right for the cubic footage.
Well, and I'll go one step further. You got to drain the water away.
Yes.
How many basements I've been into where they got a dehumidifier running on the floor, the hose is running to the sump pit that's wide open, mm-hmm. and they're dumping the water back in the sump pit that's evaporating in the sump pit, going back into the air, and then going back into the dehumidifier. So you're paying for electricity to circulate water.
Pretty much. Or they just don't empty the bucket on the dehumidifier because they bought the bucket model.
Yeah.
And it fills up once.
But more than likely, I find them with the hose and it's draining. Or they drain it through they drill a hole like the older ways they used to drain the condensation. They drill a hole in the slab and dump it underneath the house. And I said, but you're increasing the moisture in the house. The whole idea is we're trying to get the moisture out of the house. When you air condition, you don't cool air. You remove moisture.
Yep. That's definitely a specialty unto itself, and I don't think it gets enough attention, because from mold is another specialty, and then it does dramatically affect the insect population. So, yeah, I think a lot of times you're 100% correct. Moisture content and the moisture in the basement is not really understood, how it affects the rest of the home.
Sure. And in the basement, it's worse than the attic, because you're breathing the moisture. The more the bacteria, the mold, and the moisture you're in the basement, you're breathing. Mm-hmm. In the attic, it's venting. And, yes. and if it's designed right, it's going out of the house at the attic. So, yeah, you don't want it there either. But, you know, you're not breathing the air from the attic. In the basement, if you've got forced hot air, you're breathing that air every day.
Yep.
And people don't know that. But I'm glad you mentioned that about the humidifier, because that goes back to literally my number one theme to people is take care of the water. Because the water draw is the source of all life. And it's also the source of all your headaches in a house. It's the rot. The water, the humidity, the smell in the basement is all from water and moisture. And it starts at your downspouts. I mean, I tell people, you know, you mentioned downspouts. So my father had a chipmunk in his attic, and he could not figure out how he was climbing the inside of the gutter.
Yep.
Now, when you think about the inside of the gutter, there's 12-foot sections with nothing but smooth aluminum. This chipmunk must have been spread eagle. You know, pressing on the sides, climbing this 32-foot leader, getting in the gutter, coming out the gutter, and then going up around the gutter into the soffit.
Yeah, shimmying up like Special Agent Chipmunk.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Spider-Man, absolutely. You know, Spider-Man.
I mean, absolutely.
And one time he went up there, and my father banged the gutter, I mean, the thing, and you heard the thing, and it falls up, and he comes shooting out the bottom where the elbow was, because you could hear him like trying to scratch as he was falling, you know?
You know, we've had customers ask us, they say, you know, why do we offer a gutter cleaning service? And really, it's because how much the moisture affects the pest concern issue. I mean, if I have a clogged gutter, I have a water source, I have a mosquito breeding site. It could be a source for rats drinking water, because a rat needs to drink at least an ounce of water per rat per day. So, I mean, if you have those conditions present, or even just a lot of organic material in there, it's a breeding site for insects. And so, yeah, that's a step that can be taken to help reduce pest pressure.
Well, I never thought that. I mean, I always preach clean the gutters. And, you know, on that note, people have helmet guards, you know, the gutter guards. They're great for keeping the stuff out. But you know what? If the stuff does get in there, which a lot of, I mean, the periwinkles go right around it, you know, the propeller. And if there's enough of them in there, they're sitting in the bottom rotting away.
Yep.
And you don't even see them now.
And then it makes it really hard to clean.
Right, because then you got to take the helmet off. Or the wire mesh ones, at least you could see them in there, and you can rinse it out over the top. But, again, take care of the water again,
yes.
Right? Hey, let's talk about chemicals, because that's a big concern today. You know, I have a son with autism, and I've talked on the show before. But one of the things is the belief is it's, you know, environmentally induced in some kids. Or it doesn't help them, at least. Exposure. I can believe that, you know, you'll agree that any chemical exposure is not good for us.
Right.
What do you do to protect people and their pets and what chemicals do you use?
Well, I think as an industry, we've come a very long way in understanding how pesticides and chemicals affect people. The materials we utilize, you know, are not like the materials from even the 80s and the 90s.
No more DDT?
No more DDT, no more carbamates, no more chlorinated hydrocarbons.
Right.
All of those classes of chemical are gone now, for the most part. They're in some niche areas, but you know, the way I like to compare pesticides, it's like medication. It's really the best analogy, and actually in some cultures, they don't delineate between pesticides and medication. When we come to some homes, they'll say, you didn't use strong medicine on my cockroaches. Because where they're from, the same companies make the same products, medication and pesticide. So the analogy I like to use is it's very much like medication in the fact that Tylenol is safe if used as directed. But if it's not used correctly and you drink or eat a whole bottle of Tylenol, it's not safe. And, you know, we have prescription drugs, kind of like what we have access to as professional pest management professionals, where we're utilizing a slightly higher risk product sometimes. That's where it's critical you understand how the materials work and where to use them and how to minimize exposure. If you know you were to abuse a prescription drug, you know, or go to the pharmacist and have open access, it probably wouldn't be the best thing.
But let me ask you, though, because this is what we think is safe today turns out to be not safe yesterday. I mean, Roundup was promoted as the biggest thing in the world. They just lost a $1 billion lawsuit.
Yep.
Now, it probably will never be paid out at that. But, I mean,
Yep.
Billions of dollars to a janitor of a school district that used it all day long and it got skin cancer. Now, I've used Roundup all my life.
Right.
And sure, I've got spray on me, but I mean, I don't use it every day.
Yeah, there's been a lot of conjecture on some products for a long time. You know, and I think if you look at most products, even non-pesticide products, they utilize the same risk factors for assessing them. You know, they use the word caution, warning, or danger on whether it's Drano, whether it's brake cleaner, whether it's pesticide. Okay. And the vast majority of the products we utilize are actually caution, which is the lowest end of the spectrum. If you look at brake cleaners, chemical solvents, most of those are in the danger category. And when they've looked at the pest management industry, where my guys are exposed to these products day in, day out, every day, our incidence of cancer and, you know, illness due to pesticides is actually lower than other fields like auto mechanic, where they actually have a higher exposure and a higher incidence of cancer, which is interesting. So,
well, when you're washing your hands with gasoline like I did when I was a kid,
I mean,
we used pure ether to scrape epoxy paint off our hands. You know, I mean, who knew then? I mean, we didn't use respirators. We didn't use rubber gloves. I mean, so you guys go to school and they're certified and licensed,
yes.
Right? I mean, and I explain on my show many a time the difference between a registered contractor in New Jersey and a licensed professional. And, you know, a licensed professional means you've gone to school, you've passed the test, you're doing CEU credits, and you hold some kind of certification to be able to apply this stuff so you know where and when and how to apply it.
Yes. And, you know, that's one thing I pride us on. As, you know, my department, we really go well above and beyond on what the state requirements are. State requires, you know, has minimum standards for training, and we easily double and triple that. Because really, I offer a better product if I have a smarter staff member. If I have a staff member that, there's a quote I like to use. It's from Sun Tzu, and it's, to know your enemy and to know yourself is to never fear the outcome of 1,000 battles. To know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. To know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. And I feel that's professional pest management, because if you know how the insect works and you know how your products work and you know their biology and how to utilize it against them, then you're successful. And that's what really drew me into this field, was nobody can know it all. I've met PhDs that have studied one species or family of insect for 30 years. And when I ask them, they say, I know but a tip of the iceberg. And I think that's the draw to this business, is the more you learn, the easier it gets. And you never realized how much there is to learn.
Well, you know, that goes without saying. It's funny, because in the home inspection business, I'm not afraid of saying I don't know. And some people think that you're going to lose your deal. And you know what? If I lose a deal because I tell somebody I don't know, I think the guy's a fool, because, you know, the guy who doesn't say I don't know is either lying to you or making it up. I mean, as you said before, I think it was credited to Einstein, I think, but I think it was the smartest men in the world are the first ones to admit they know nothing, because they know that they don't know it. I did an electrical system the other day that was so far above my knowledge. It looked professional. It looked like it was done right, but it was, you know, 200 amps with a whole house transfer and solar panels interweaved, and I didn't know where the power stopped and started, in the sense that, and then I told the owner, I said, listen, looks good. It's been inspected by the township. I said, but you know what you do? You need a licensed electrician to explain this to you. Same thing with termites. I mean, we do a lot of houses where the termite bait traps are outside, and some of them are full of cardboard. Some have the bait in them. And explain that to me. Somebody told me that a lot of times they test for termites that way because they don't want to treat unless they have termites. So the idea is you don't want to put chemicals in the ground that you don't need to.
Well, there's multiple schools of thought on this. I know some people like to do a preventative treatment, which is allowed. But we like to use baiting systems in a lot of those situations where, you know, a lot of them now are always active. They are put into the soil, and when something does encounter them, it goes back, and it's a growth regulator. It's not even a insecticide directly. It's not like it kills on contact. It doesn't affect people. So the safety factor is very high on these systems. Actually, typically, it's our preferred system to use around homes with wells, because there's no chance of well contamination.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll typically use these systems in higher risk scenarios, and they work quite well. They actually do.
So you're talking about, are those the ones where you see the little green caps around and they've got bait in them?
Like Centricon.
Right, right. And just so you know, people, if you're at a house or your children are at a house and you see these things, they look like sprinkler heads. They're every 3 or 4 feet, I guess. Was it 2 feet in between?
Yeah, between 4 and 8. Typically, they'll go closer together where there's activity.
And they're along the base of the foundation. Don't let your kids play with them because they are poison. Sometimes the caps become open. Sometimes, you know, they're twisting. They're usually locked, but sometimes they're open. But you've got to be aware of these things. They're not sprinkler heads. They're harmful chemicals that you don't want your kids playing with. So be aware of that. I think it's important that people realize that they may be bait traps and have pesticides in them.
The risks with them, though, are, believe it or not, are surprisingly low. The toxicity is extremely – I mean, even if the kid was to ingest them, it's relatively non-toxic. So, yeah, I mean, the safety factor, and that's really where the chemistry is going nowadays. We actually have pesticides that when the insect eats it, the chemical reacts with the enzyme in the insect's stomach and then creates the toxicant.
Right.
So, you know, they joke at the trade shows that, you know, you could literally eat this, and because you lack the enzyme, it would have zero effect.
It passed right through you.
So the chemistry is making leaps and bounds, and I think that's really where the black eye on the industry came from, was the stuff from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, where – you know, it went into the ground and it didn't disappear for 30, 40, 50 years, where, you know, it built up, it biomagnified in wildlife.
Oh, think about DDT.
Exactly.
Every cornfield, they put it in the ground, and the stuff has a half-life of like a 500,000 years or something. I mean.
it broke down into two things, DDD and DDX, and it was actually one of those metabolites that was found to be the more harmful product. So, it's... And that's really where you need to have somebody that understands the risk to benefit and can explain it to you. Because, you know, we may go to a customer and say, hey, listen, you know, maybe this isn't the best course of action because you do have a wellhead. Maybe this isn't the best course of action because you have the organic vegetable garden or the garden up against the house. Maybe we should go this route instead. Because we do have access to organic products. And, you know, organic does work. We have organic programs. But typically, we find that they're not as well tolerated by most homeowners because the volatile organic compounds that are coming off them, the odors, are significantly stronger. So we find that people tend to be more sensitive to the organic products, ironically, whereas, you know, the synthetic products tend to be engineered to be lower odor. So, and lower organic compounds, volatile organic compounds.
So in a sense, you go organic, but you get a little bit more grief in a way.
In a way, too, we've come to take the word organic to mean safe.
Yeah, I know.
And that's not always the case. I mean, you know, cyanide's organic. You wouldn't eat cyanide, you know. really, some of the pesticides now are engineered to be safer than the natural counterpart.
All right. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back, and we'll wrap up and get some final questions to Craig. So hang on 1 second, and we'll be back in a few.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Okay, we're back. Craig, one of the things we were talking about on the break there is deer. Now, in my, I have a yard that back up to a woods, and there's a path back there, and the deer come through every night. And usually in the fall and the spring, the black bear come through, too, at 5:30 at night. But they don't bother us. We like to watch him go by. He sniffs the grill, and he keeps on moving. But the deer, they come in, and they eat all my wife's flowers, which drives her nuts. They'll eat everything off. I mean, the tulips bloomed, and the next day they were nothing but nubs. We thought it was rabbits, but then the deer, we got them on the thermal camera, and there's a herd of deer just sitting there eating away. What do you guys do for that?
We have a couple of options. We tend to use either one product has a putrescent egg solid. It's a natural product that gets sprayed on the vegetation, and it repels the deer. And we have another one that is actually a pepper-based product, and we utilize that. So both are organic materials.
Is it good for how long, though? I mean, a lot of stuff. My wife had some cockamamie cocktail that she made, that, and it worked. But you know what? As soon as it rained, it was gone.
Well, it typically needs to be reapplied about monthly. Last year was a very bad year. As I'm sure you're aware, there was a lot of rain. And, so we saw some of the durability on some of those products slip a little bit. But a typical year, we get about a month to a month and a half out of an application.
Okay. Now, you mentioned before about when to call and when not to call, because you brought up some good ideas. I mean, some things to me that I didn't consider. I assumed they were pavement ants, and here I am thinking, I'm going to do the same thing I've done last time, and maybe they're not pavement ants, and so maybe I should collect some and bring them in. What do you recommend the homeowner do? I mean, do you think they should try something first, or should they, you know, collect samples? Should they bring them to you? You know, do all companies offer free advice?
I think the average person wants to try to solve something themselves first, but I think sometimes they can actually make things worse if they do things incorrectly. I'll give you an example, total release foggers. So they have an insect problem inside the kitchen or inside the bedroom. We see a big rise in bed bugs. Unfortunately, that's one of those pests that is more prevalent with more affluent people because they travel more. And, you know, they'll cook off these total release foggers in their rooms, and they'll think, hey, I'm killing these pests. And yeah, you might get a couple. But what it typically does is it drives them deeper into the walls, drives them deeper into the floor, into ceilings and fixtures. And now it makes them harder to get rid of. So now when they do end up saying, throwing their hands up and saying, okay, I need to hire somebody, now it's a much more elaborate process to get rid of them.
I never thought of that, but I'm laughing because I think of my brother's. He lived in an apartment in York College in Pennsylvania, and the neighbors downstairs set off a sulfur bomb because they had cockroaches. And, you know, you open the front door of his apartment, and it was like 10,000 cockroaches running up the stairs at his apartment. They were like they were fleeing downstairs, but they were going upstairs.
Exactly. And that's one of those things that, you know, really, you want to consult a professional. I always recommend people, you know, companies like ours, we do free estimates. So it doesn't hurt to get a professional set of eyes on things. Collect a sample. I always recommend putting it in a vial or a small container with some rubbing alcohol. I know, as the person who does most of the insect identifications for my company, I prefer when the samples are brought to be dead, especially if people think they might be biting.
especially their bed bugs.
Exactly. I have a funny story. Actually, I had a guy bring me an envelope once, and he goes, I think I have bed bugs. And I looked inside, and I said, how many were in here? And he goes, 7. And I looked, and there were 5. Oh, and I was like, an envelope probably wasn't the right container. So we ended up treating our office that night. I recommend always getting it professionally looked at, because we do have several invasive species now that are in the area. We have spotted lanternfly coming this way from Pennsylvania. We have kudzu bug coming north from from Maryland. We actually have the new species of tick that I spoke about earlier.
What about the stink bug?
And that's really the funny part is we don't even consider that new anymore. And it really was a decade ago.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, it's pretty established now. Predators have kind
those
of
those are the
up.
Freakiest things I've ever seen, though. They look almost like dinosaurs.
Oh, wait for – have you seen spotted lanternfly yet?
No.
It's coming. It was introduced from Asia into Allentown area, just like the stink bug. In 2014, they found it. And they have most of Pennsylvania in a quarantine right now. They're not allowed to move heavy equipment out without a permit. It's a big deal. And they feed upon 70 species of tree and shrub, and they are actually a major pest of grapes, hops. I joke that they're going after our alcohol. But
the wine and our beer, that's what they want.
But they'll actually feed so heavily on a tree that they'll secrete so much honeydew, so much waste, that sooty mold will grow. And they can actually stain surfaces beneath and kill plants and trees. So, and they're heading this way. They're starting to be spotted right over the river, and they should be here this season. We have the Asian needle ant is making its way into New Jersey now, which does sting. So we are starting to see it. You know, unfortunately, with a globalized economy comes globalized pests. So
yeah, and that's true. I mean, it's because we're traveling so much more. You said that before. That was interesting about the bed bugs and affluent people and people. You know, I know I have friends that think that bed bugs is a dirty disease. It's like from people who live in squalor or poor people, and it's not. I mean, it's funny you say that because when I go, I spent 800 nights in a Marriott in my last 30 years. I'm a Platinum Life member, so that's 3 years of your life in a Marriott. And everyone I went to it was clean. I tell you what, one reason I used the Marriott properties, it was always spotless. But I take a tissue and I'd wipe the inside of the drawers. Mm-hmm. And I'd look for the little spots, and I'd peel back the covers on the three layers of comforters and look at the seams.
Don't miss the headboard. Okay. Yeah, that's one spot in hotels.
Oh, is it the headboard?
Yep.
Okay. Headboard. But I did. That's where I would peel back along mm-hmm. the headboard. But then I never really – my suitcase really rarely got unpacked. It usually stays packed. And
on the plus side, I think most hotel chains now are on top of the bed bug problem. They realize – there's not a hotel in the country that has not had them.
Right.
They all realize that they're there, and they deal with them. They know what they're looking for. They're proactively looking for them, and they have fast reaction programs for them. So the industry has caught up to the issue. So, but, you know, it's funny. We attach a social stigma to certain pests, and, you know, it's definitely not the type of thing you discuss with your neighbor, you know, standing at the fence about, oh, yeah, I got bed bugs this week.
You're going to screw you in the neighborhood. Yep. Now, we'll end up with the one more thing for you, and then you can wrap up with your message. But, you know, I was always taught that if your neighbor treats for termites, look out, treat for termites, because, you know, termites nest, and I know this, they nest 50 to 60, sometimes a couple hundred feet in the ground, and they tend
– actually, that's not true. Typically, they're within the just below the frost line, so 2 to 3 feet.
Oh, okay, I thought they were a lot deeper because told me that they return to the nest constantly because they're the moisture content. And that's one reason they build tunnels and everything else.
Yeah, no. What they found was they did a study down out of the Carolinas, and they found typical yard, 1 acre yard, will have 18 to 22 termite colonies on the property. Usually, it's the ones that are just abutting the house that are the issue, and they're all separate. But you know, typically they're pretty shallow. Which is kind of strange.
Yeah, because they
would think they were deep.
They were deeper, and they said, you know, the neighbor treats are going to come next door. But that's still the theory there, though, is still that it's real and they're in the ground.
Oh,
and if they can't come into my house, they're going to find wood to eat because they do us a service. They break down wood that's on the ground. I mean, you know, it's like mold. People don't understand that without mold, we'd be buried in trash because it's the organic material that it eats and breaks down and secretes the enzymes and all that.
Something's got to eat the tree roots. So right, when the tree dies. So
right. What else would you like to say, Craig? I mean, tell us about Viking. Leave us a phone number, an email address.
Well, you know, Viking's been around since 1980. We've been providing pest control for families all that time. We're a full service pest control company. We do prevention for ants, spiders, termites, bed bugs, just to name a few pests. Pretty much, though, if it crawls, we could probably deal with it. With locations servicing New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Viking is a local business that you love with the coverage you need. I mean, we have a 24/7 call center, so you can always get a hold of somebody night or day if you need them. Pests don't rest on weekends, so neither do we. I mean, if you need somebody on a Sunday, call. We give a free, no-obligation estimate by a pest professional, and you can reach us at 1-800-618-BUGS. That's 1-800-618-BUGS. or you can visit us at vikingpest.com. You can find a full list of our services and home protection plans there as well. With Viking, one call gets them all.
And that's one. My call center says one call does it all, because we arrange all the inspections, and pest being one of them. Hey, if you got a pest problem out there, you don't know what to do, you don't know how to get rid of it, you tried your best, call Viking, get a free estimate, get them out there to look at it. They'll give you their opinion. If anything, you'll learn something. I think I think Craig has shown that they'll discuss it with you. They'll give you options. And they'll take in consideration. You got pets, you got dogs, you got cats. I mean, and don't be willy-nilly about it, because one of the things I found is that people, you know, put things in the ground and they have a dog and they don't realize the dog is now infected with it. And most people who have dogs, I mean, they're part of their family. I mean, so would you want to poison your children? And the same thing with your kids. I mean, I know there's some pesticides out there that you spray in your house, and you'd be surprised how fast things get around. I think, 2020 did a special where they've had some germs and they put it on a doorknob, and like within 20 minutes it was through the whole house.